Hi everyone, welcome to Social Media and Me, the podcast where we discuss major shifts in the pop and social media culture. We deep dive into trends and viral phenomena, and we also talk about the side effects, good or bad, that we can experience while using, working with, and living in a social media world. The topic of today is the wrap-up of 2022. In my eyes, I think it is very important to reflect on what happened this year and just come up with a sort of summary to keep the best memories and to say also goodbye to what was not the best. So I would like to start saying the 2022 season is coming to an end. As the viral audio I've just used for my recap reel is saying, we are going to wrap up my year through the lenses of what I've saw and experienced in social media. I also want to share what I think that are the key takeaways that will definitely survive and be with us next year, and in general, what happened and what we will remember this year for. It's been a while since my last recorded episode, so I also have some news. Let's reintroduce ourselves, shall we? Social media can be an amazing place where to be entertained, where learning something new is easy and accessible, where we can connect with different people, as I am doing now. At the same time, social media can be toxic and just the worst place ever. I think there are several points of view on this topic, but most of them I find them to be extremely biased or shared by a non-digital native perspective. As someone who was born in the middle of the rise of the internet and who also grew up with a digital identity, I want to reflect on the changes and the effects that social media have on me. It is quite fundamental that we take into consideration all the nuances that are part of our culture today to understand the digital scenario we live in. So, as I've said, there are many perspectives and point of views, and you may have one, I'm sure. Today, you're listening to mine. I am Clorinda Sgromo. And this is Social Media and Me, a series of personal soul conversation about social media culture. I studied media and communication, and right now I work in digital marketing as influencer marketing manager. And I created this podcast as a way to unfold what social media mean to me. Social media's only constant is change. And I find it important to be aware of it and reflect on what's going on around me. We talk about changes and new stuff of the internet and how we can keep up with the latest trends without drowning into the sea of information. So let's get into it. Today I will try something new. I will start recording this podcast in English, as you might have noticed at this point. Even though I am Italian and I live in Milan at the moment, this is a big change. I don't know if my previous listeners will be still around for this, but I felt the need to change for many reasons, actually. The major reason why is I want to be able to have conversation on the same topics that I usually talk here with you, also with my friends who don't speak Italian, and people online who, again, don't speak Italian. And also I work in a very international environment and I speak in English most of the time. So also when I'm doing something on social media, it's usually in English. So to move on, let's hope my English is not that bad. Let's hope not. And also, tell me, like, I hope you can still understand me with my Italian accent. And yeah, let me know in DMs what you think about this news. Okay, so wrap up of social media in 2022. In the last couple of weeks, we have all received the personal version of Wrapped by Spotify as an insightful deep dive into our music and podcast taste, with some sort of information displayed like how many hours have we listened to a music artist or who is on our top three favorites, as well as how was our mood most of the time while listening to music, what kind of taste we had in music this year, and so on and so forth. And I find it very amusing because most of the time when I see my Wrapped, I discover something new about myself. To be able to see the overall picture at a glance, it is always interesting, in my opinion. You can see patterns and similarities and also the weight that same areas have compared to others. And this is the kind of reflection that we are going to do on social media in 2022. This is a personal take, by the way. As a disclaimer, I don't have the capacity to be over partisan, so clearly this is not meant to be a worldwide valid case study. Of course, my For You page is going to be custom made for me and my taste. And it is different than, I don't know, my roomies or my brothers. So this is just what I believe it could be a Wrapped for 2022 on social media landscape based on what I've seen. Let's start from my favorite point, the rising of the ugly aesthetic. I am very passionate about exploring how the aesthetic changes based on consumer behavior and trends. In social media especially, you can curate your whole identity and be more careful about what you want to be represented by. And this means you will follow one or another aesthetic and maybe just don't be aware of it. This year, we saw the rising of the perfect app for the ugly aesthetic. And with ugly, I mean not polished, not that much fake in a way, or curated, you know. Just random life displayed in the beauty, the bad, and the ugly. Be Real was recently declared the app of the year by Apple, as well as it was announced to be in the list of the most downloaded ones, even more than TikTok. The trend of photo dumping was and still is the trend of the year, in my personal opinion. And we can see that with the new arrival of TikTok Now and the option dual camera on Instagram, this is not gonna leave us soon. What this means for us, on one hand, I believe this makes room for more and new people to be able to express themselves on social media, without the sort of pressure to be experts in editing lights and adjust picture for the gram. You know, now more than ever, you can just be at your home and make content without pulling out a special outfit or without the need to be on a special place, on a special date, you know, in order to create a content for your feed. I think the previous rigid and kind of fake, or at least too premeditated aesthetic of social media is gone. For sure, there are still profiles that enjoy to create their feed in order to be color matched or aesthetically pleasing, but there is no more need to be like that anymore. On the other hand, the content is king, also more than ever. And this is an expression that digital marketers say all the time, and basically means that the message and the language of the platform combined are the most important thing when it comes to creating something for an audience. Content is king. Right now means that almost all of the limitation that we had previously are basically gone, and this can be somehow toxic too. And I'll explain. If you are a creator right now, you could feel the need to be always on because people want more of you. It is not enough to produce curated content like your classic tutorial YouTube video. They want to see you also in your daily life. If you are a content creator, it is very important that you understand and follow, or even better, predict what's next and deliver it to the audience. When people are kind of rediscovering the realness of our homes and watch live streaming that are based on long walks around the city, you know, study session and so on, you need to peel off some layers of your identity and serve them to your followers as well. Or you won't be perceived as much as quote unquote real anymore. Overall, I believe we will keep seeing this type of unfiltered content next year more and more, and it will be spreading on all the other platforms and media as well. The risk here is to believe that the fourth wall is finally being broken to let us connect directly between each other, like the dream baseline of the internet. Instead, I do think sometimes it will only witness our loneliness and kind of put a spotlight on how isolated we are today, how much our lives are individual and disconnected from one another. This may not be the case of, you know, all of us, but sometimes this is quite true. When everyone becomes the main character in their own existence, it starts to feel like if we don't participate in the game too, we are left behind. Our reality is often perceived as not enough. It is not enough if it's not shown or seen by someone else. And posting is, I mean, I don't mean this in an extreme way, but posting is becoming vital for people to feel the glimpse of connection with strangers without an actual connection on a more deeper personal level. And I think this is why Be Real is addictive. In a way, it allows everyone that has the app to be seen and participate in the game of social media with the minimum effort. And at the same time, it creates a stage for our realness that can be the mirror of our own one. And this can be tricky to live in. Another point that can be wrap up this year is being provocative at all costs. And I've seen the boundaries of content pushed to the next level this year. In the most recent example and controversy, this kind of chat touches on the Balenciaga Christmas campaign Toy Story's case, where I'm sure you know at this point. The brand campaign featured pictures of children clutching handbags that look like teddy bears in bondage gear. Also, they featured photos that include paperwork about child pornography and in general, so many references to child pornography. These days, more details are emerging, so I'm not gonna touch base on that. But I guess what I want to say is that when all is being done and everything is already being exposed and displayed, or at least it feels like that, it seems that we must try harder to surprise our audience for the sake of being seen. And people sometimes on social media, in order to get that whoa effect, will just go where it wasn't necessary to and not okay at all to go. Also, if I think about the social media icon of the year, Julia Fox, I'm going to award her like that, social media icon of the year. She's a mix of ugly and provocative aesthetic, and the way she speaks her thoughts and just expose people around her amongst LA elite is what I'm talking about. She is the definition of art for art's sake. And sometimes it gives the same vibes of a reality show that is being aired on social media instead of on TV or stream TV. This provocative at all costs effect can be toxic and push people or brands to be, I don't know, like to just take the wrong decision just for the sake to be on top of trends. Just to shock other people. I think this is the ultimate goal sometimes. But people can detect the effort of content creation nowadays, and everyone is just better at knowing whether something is genuine or not, or at least in the appearance of that. So I don't think this approach is going to stay any longer in our culture, and I'll explain why. People get bored very easily, especially in social media, and they are more keen to judge in a meaner way what they see. So, to give you an example that comes to my mind, it is the climate change activists that, I don't know if you remember, but they basically targeted the main art pieces around the world and simulated like vandal attacks to some paintings like Van Gogh's and Monet. Basically, what they did is throwing soup and mashed potatoes to these paintings in museums. And while their intention was clearly provocative, was to wake up people to be more demanding at government to take action for climate change. But in reality, the majority of press coverage and general the comments online were bad. Was this necessary? I mean, the piece of art are still intact since they are protected by like a glass or some sort of thing. But the attack was felt by the internet as, provocative, but in a bad way, like not a smart move. Another example is the critical war situation in Ukraine. When Russia attacked Ukraine, it was all over TikTok. And every piece of information was on TikTok, on a video format. And it was so fast that nobody could have the time to double check facts. They called this war the first war on TikTok, even. When all started, all Ukrainian influencers and normal people used their platforms and communication power to report from their cities, their homes. And I remember to binge watch so many random live streaming from small creators on TikTok or Instagram to try to understand how their lives just all of a sudden were, shattered and changed. But the more the hostilities were going on, the more content we could just see. And Russia and Ukraine troops used their social media to their benefits and used, I don't know, like Twitter to deliver messages to just have people support and international visibility. Today, the war is still there, but it feels like nobody wants to hear about what's on social media at least. Now, people are kind of sick that in Europe, this critical situation is causing some restriction and, disruption. And we went from being obsessed with the situation, trying to be helpful somehow, spreading videos, news, charity initiative, to just don't care anymore. I guess this is due to the fact that the provocative effect is a very like fast and immediate effect. It does not last. In truth, I believe this experience gave us the opportunity for a major learning this year. 'Cause I don't think the extreme method will survive going forward. We will get used to the new shocking topic of the moment faster and will be just less reactive all the time. There is also an interesting counter trend though, which is more effective in my opinion, and it is the romanticizing normal life and daily boring details of our existence. A clear tendency is displayed in the new version of the reality show Kardashian, which I love to watch. The Kardashian family is famous and well known for being masters at editing their lives and storylines. On this particular new Hulu show, they decided to put aside every bad or controversial narrative that could, cause or lead into a social media drama. And watchers at first were kind of confused, like, okay, where's the drama? Like, we were used to the drama. We just, didn't see the point in just seeing Chris and Kylie were grocery shopping in one episode and kind of stuff like that. But the real news in the show is actually this. And I've seen a TikTok video talking about this. Like, Kardashian just put more effort to record themselves doing normal stuff, on purpose. And this is because the new currency on social media is relatability. This longing for realness and relatable content will last at least the next year. And the effect that can be seen on the other wrap point that I have is live streaming. And it is not a surprise that video format are still here as a major trend. We went from choosing shorter videos of a maximum of, I don't know, 6 to 10 seconds to prefer really long video as live streaming. The iron grip that this live video have is unparalleled. If you decide to scroll down, you don't get to see the rest of it. So you're even more glued to the screen in this case, in the attempt to just catch up with everything. Live content are the ultimate TV shows in 2022. And everyone is producing their own with their own phones. The amount of hours that I've spent this year watching the most viral trial of all times, I'm speaking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard defamation trial, is enormous. And I am not ashamed of it. Like, I was invested in every single content, every single like night I was there, even during the very long break of the jury, and I was still connected to see when they would be back. And I am not even kidding, it was like thousands of people there, like hundreds of thousands of people. And this phenomenon is clearly tied to a form of FOMO, I'm not gonna lie. So FOMO is fear of missing out. We all know that. And in this case, it's fearing to miss out some sort of information that I could then gossip about with my friends, like I would do with, I don't know, a Netflix show or my favorite series. In conclusion, to put together, like in short, my wrapped for 2022 social media happenings, I think we could sum up three major points. 2022 social media were on a search for realness. In photos, 2022 has been messy, ugly, but relatable, and eventually more graceful with our normal, boring life. It became finally cool to show off a 9-to-5 job, rooting for quiet quitting and for a daily routine that it is always the same shit. But again, much more relatable. On video recording, 2022 has been committed to longer video format, especially live streaming. Even if people were just, again, walking or studying or reading in silence, being present in the same, I don't know, kind of virtual room made us connect a little bit more, or at least to feel connected a little bit more. 2022 made it clear that visibility is a powerful tool. Viral content have the power of a giant tsunami, and we started seeing more normal people testing this potential to empower themselves on, I would say, on all platforms, but especially on TikTok. And in a way, this leaves the stage of brand deals and advertising and all promotion to influencers on Instagram. 2022 has been the year where we are still trying to recover from lockdowns and post-pandemic effects, kind of resurrecting our normal quiet life, I would say. And at the same time, and maybe because everything will always change, it left us eager for more, trying to push us to explore new boundaries, new normalities, just to move forward. I am pretty curious at this point to know what, in your opinion, 2022 looks like, at least in the social media scenario. And if you agree with some of my points, and what kind of experience was for you this year? You could let me know, write me on, I mean, wherever is your preferred social media platform. I have Instagram and I have TikTok as well. DM me, and there is also my email in case you want to just, deep dive on the topic. And I've loved that. And nothing. I just wish you the nicest rest of the day, and I will see you in the next episode. This is Chloe, and this was Social Media and Me. A kiss. Bye.